The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
Coming up, Randy Robison shares how the Ministry of Life Today has changed his life through helping people in need.
I even left the ministry for 6 years and went and worked in a secular company, a Fortune 500 company, a dot-com startup, you know, kind of living the dream. And there came a period where I was having difficulty sleeping because it was like God was going, wake up, I got something for you to do. Mm-hmm.
We're excited to have our son Randy on here with us, and we're going to tell you a little bit the story how Randy came into our lives. It was a little bit of a unique approach. I'm James Robinson. Betty and I are thrilled that we will introduce you to Randy. I might as well go ahead, Randy. We're glad to have you here.
Yeah, some people have seen me a few times. It's been an honor with you guys.
He's hosted a lot. He's been with us. He's been all over the world with the missions. He's got plenty to share. But anyway, Betty and I were wanting to have another child after we'd had Rhonda, and it was quite a few years. You had a condition that they said
I couldn't have any more children.
So we began to pray, and we prayed about adoption. We would like to have had a son, you know, so we
I told God I wanted a son.
Well, he heard you.
He did.
And we had a couple of attorneys say we oftentimes have a person that has a desire to place a child up for adoption, and they will be wanting to place whatever the child is, and we will obviously have some in that place that will have a son, and we'll let you know. And sure enough, they did, and said, we've got a lady that wants to place her son up for adoption. And you got that baby.
I did. You were out of town.
I was preaching a crusade in Tulsa, Oklahoma, and setting the Coliseum record. That was nice. And Oral Roberts couldn't even get a seat and had to sit on the steps because he wouldn't take somebody's chair. But I came home from that, and you drove to the airport with what?
With Randy.
And you were praying.
I said, I hope he loves him because I'm not giving him back.
Well, I think he was he 4 days old when they brought him to the house?
Yeah, 4 days
old. And there he was, and I fell in love with you real fast, Randy. And you grew real fast. You got big in a hurry as a little baby. And you became a man. And sure enough, you blessed us all the way through your childhood and your life, and you had a wonderful mind, and you got scholarship offers everywhere. And you chose to go where?
I went to Oral Roberts University, but you are being a little bit generous, because I know I challenged you at times, no doubt, especially in the teen years, and even into the college years, and into the adult years. So, we'll be honest about that. But no, I mean, you know, the principle, what's interesting is explaining that to me, because people have said, you know, when did you find out you were adopted, you know? And I'm like, I always knew. Yeah. And I never had the insecurity that a lot of adoptees had, because you used the scriptural principle of all of us being adopted as the sons and daughters of God.
Right.
That's the spiritual principle. And for us, it was a physical principle as well. And so, you know, from the get-go, there's been this foundation of scripture in our family life and in the work that we do through the ministry. And, you know, if you don't start with a solid foundation, you really can't build.
Yeah.
And I appreciate not only the personal foundation that you provided, but also the foundation upon scripture that Life Outreach International has been built on. And that's why when you look at, you know, where we're at and in the times and the culture and the country, in our own lives, you know, I'm a grandfather now. You guys are great. How many great grandparents or great grandkids do you have?
22. We're 23 soon.
Yeah. I can't even keep up. And I know that you know, we've been contributing to that. But, you know, you look at that kind of foundational element and you go, what do you do with that? Well, you got to have the strong foundation. But the other biblical principle at play, you know, when the parable Jesus talks about giving the talents, which is the, you know, the monetary unit, but I love the double play of the word in our language. What do you do with it? Well, you know, if you just kind of stash it over here, guard it, keep it, you know, and then give it back. What are you called? You're not called blessed. You're called wicked and lazy. In Scripture, it's the one that was invested. Mm-hmm. It grew. It multiplied. And it was never about how much you were given. Mm-hmm. It was always about the multiplication of that. And I think that's where we're at right now with Life Outreach International and with our lives. And I know a lot of viewers in your life, you know, the older you get, the more you go, okay, what do I have? Well, the foundation is solid. And I think we're at a point of multiplication in the ministry and in the mission outreaches. And I just think that's our calling, but we have to have, obviously, the support of the people that have watched, that have been a part, that we, this is a team effort, right? But I think we're at a real key point.
Well, Betty and I, and along with all the missionaries, all we would do would be people with a compassion and a love and a concern for people, and we would find people who needed love and compassion and somebody to care, and we found plenty of them. And boy, did we care. But Betty, we found the missionaries that seemed to even care to the extent that they would move their families all the way across the ocean and start putting them in a homeschool and keeping them there to move their life in the midst of this suffering to try to put the arms of God around the least of these and the most overlooked people on the planet. And they said, our problem is we're going to be empty-handed if we don't have somebody helping us. Mm-hmm. And they looked at me and you, and they knew we had a television audience, and they said, why don't you go back and ask them to help? Scared me to come back thinking, you know, the one thing I knew churches didn't do much of was attend mission conferences and prayer meetings. So here I'm coming back to ask people to pray for tremendous needs, but also to do mission outreach. And Betty, we decided we were going to do it as a ministry. And we started it, and we were serious about it. And we went to find the needs everywhere so we could show people with their own eyes the need and the opportunity. And Randy, you know how clear that was because you not only saw it on television, but ultimately you went and saw it in person. And yeah, we never had to exaggerate because it was exactly what we pointed at. The reality was where you could see it. The need was great, and the need could be met.
It was life-changing for me to see those things firsthand. And I even left the ministry for 6 years and went and worked in a secular company, a Fortune 500 company, a dot-com startup, you know, kind of living the dream. And there came a period where I was having difficulty sleeping because it was like God was going, wake up. I got something for you to do. Mm-hmm. Because what I saw in the mission field, the need that I saw, and the impact that we could have if we would just do something, that never left, you know? And that's part of why I'm here today, because we are in a position, we have been given the great privilege and honor of being able to save people's lives in the name of Jesus. And you just don't walk away from that. No. But let me tell you, I asked Peter Pretorius a question back in the early 90s when we were in Mozambique. A very American question, very, very Western question. I said, how long do you think we're going to have to do this until they don't need us anymore, right? In other words, the feeding. Because I thought, okay, well, they had a famine or a flood. They need food.
It was temporary.
It's temporary. And there is some truth in that. Yeah. There have been areas where we've gone in with emergency food, it's stabilized, and you move out. But there's also a mindset that we've had to face in a lot of these third world countries, and it's a poverty mindset. You see it here in the United States as well, but he said, no, this is generational. Peter said, this is generational. And I kind of, really? But let me tell you the other side of that, because we were seeing the generations. And I was in South Sudan earlier in 2025, and you can go into a school there where there's mission feeding, right? And now these kids have an education because they haven't had to scramble for food every day. And they're talking about becoming teachers or lawyers or doctors and coming back to their village and helping make them self-sustaining, right?
And then oftentimes they come back as teachers. Sometimes they actually come back becoming mayors of villages after they It's amazing.
Yeah, it's wild to see this generation thing.
These are the kids that were dying that you saw.
Right. And then I turn around and I meet one of the guys on our very team that is helping with the mission outreach that goes, you know, I grew up in a village and my life was saved by mission feeding. And I was like, no way. I mean, so you're seeing it come back around. And that's the generational challenge. Mm-hmm. You give them the stability of the food. You do it in a school in most cases, so they're getting an education. Yeah. Now they're not thinking about today. They're thinking about the future. You give them the assurance that, yes, you can become something in life. Mm-hmm. And they want to. They desperately want to. And then, again, the foundation, right? What's the foundation of all of it? It's Jesus Christ. This is the gospel in word and deed.
Yep.
And it brings life to villages, to individuals first, and to villages and to countries. And we're seeing it pay off. And it's hard to put into words, but I think you see it sometimes in some of the faces of the people there. They laugh, they smile, they love. And I just can't tell you how thrilled I am that you adopted me and you allowed me to be a part of this beautiful outreach globally. And it's just going to continue because it's effective. We've gotten more effective over the years. Mm-hmm. And so we've moved into new areas of need, and it's the gospel in action.
Well, it's just like we desire as our families here. Dad and I always to have a good foundation for all three of your children and your families. We still desire that. Yeah. We think more and more as we've gotten older about that foundation and the legacy that we can leave, you know. And I think that's what you're talking about. Yeah. Give them a foundation to work on, to grow on, to become strong in the Lord on, and to help others to build foundations. It rolls, what comes around, what is that spray? It rolls, comes around, comes back around. Anyway, you know what I mean. In other words, you help someone else, and then God's going to allow you to them to help someone else.
Yeah.
Well, you talk about legacy. As we get older, we ought to want to leave a legacy of life, not only with our own family, a meaningful legacy, but with God's will through His family. And Randy, we would get the kids stabilized, and then we came up with the idea of feeding in schools. Because girls didn't tend to go to school. But if you fed, they would go. So you had boys and girls going, so you got all of them growing. So that began to go school feeding all over Mozambique as one example. And it became a life-changing thing too. So we advanced it. And the thing about it is, you're talking about now the very people that went through coming back, some of them working in some way connected with us, but some of them coming back as let's say, civic leaders, as national leaders. Some of them are mayors of some of the smaller communities. Some of them are professors in the schools and the universities already. I met them. Some of them are police officers. Some of them are in the military. And those were the children that our viewers saved. And right now, because there's been a diminishing of support for the, let's say, the people who've been supporting outreaches of missions, they're not there right now. So it's increased our burden and our need to where we need a miracle of support right now.
Well, I can tell you that the last conversation I had with ESOC and with some of the other people, and with the changes in some of the aid structure, because the support that Life Outreach provides isn't all, it's not just like going to the market and buying food and then taking it out to places. There's a lot of logistics, there's a lot of delivery, there's sometimes the processing of raw foods, and we have a track record where we can actually multiply the dollars that are given. In other words, if we give a dollar towards the outreach in Africa, it actually has about a $3 to $4 power and some of the goods and services that we can get to make the mission feeding possible. It's a little complex, but let me just put it this way. With the withdrawing of a lot of aid and restructuring of USAID, and believe me, we got to get rid of the corruption in that system because then we'll be able to do more. But with that shifting, it has put a little bit of an urgency on our part because we're not getting as much support.
Those we work with, they've got pressure.
They absolutely do, and there is a level of concern, and I'm hoping and praying that it will be put in place and be even better than before. But when you've got a delay, you know, or a restructure, and so it might change the way things happen. These children can't afford a delay. Too many are on death's door. And so our concern, and we're watching, is that a disruption in the way things have worked would end up in a lot of death. That is a very real possibility. It's not a criticism. It's a concern. And the solution is to beef up the support that we give them right now, immediately. And just pray that God would work through the other things to make it better than it was before. Mm-hmm. Because, believe me, there are some improvements in a lot of the systems where we get the food and some
logistics. And Randy, when these missionaries come to me with that reality, they say, James, we come to you because the people who watch you care.
Yeah.
And they said, that's why we pray you know, and your viewers know, because they seem to care.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's why we do what we do.
Well, we need their help right now more than ever.
We do.
And when we say the we, that's the people we help, that we work with. They need it, and it works. It does not fail.
It also works on a different level, too. And we need to realize that our battle is not with flesh and blood. One of the most beautiful things, and I know you've done this, we've done this for many years now, but I got to do it again just within the last year. We go into a village, and the children are singing, and they're dancing, and they're celebrating because they're healthy enough to do that, but they're also thankful. They're grateful. And they're not just singing a local song, which would be beautiful. They're singing a spiritual song.
About Jesus.
Yeah, they're singing about Jesus. The impact that we're having, we don't even know fully, I think, and we'll probably never will, but that's okay, because we're having an eternal impact. And so as we, you know, fight some of the logistical battles of making sure that mission feeding continues and we get to the areas with the greatest need, we also fight the spiritual battle, because we know our God is greater than any problem we can bring up in this world. There are a lot of places where there are safety concerns. But you know what? When God goes before you and goes behind you, you go in obedience.
That's right.
And He blesses it.
He builds
and
a hedge of protection.
He breaks down the walls. Yep. And I'm just excited. We're going to see greater and greater things.
The miracles God has worked to keep our missionaries alive. We had three missionaries riding in the front of a truck that had 8 bullet holes through the front of the truck. Not one of them hit any one of the three. That's a miracle. Mm-hmm. We've seen a lot of miracles like that. I think that's your prayers. But Randy, right now, you know, and the missionaries have told us, what we're facing is the most serious we've ever seen, which means that those of you who care about what the Father cares about, what Jesus died to give, His life and His love, and He came that we might have life, have it more abundantly, have it eternally. That's what we're sharing. It would be wonderful if we could double right now the support, because the need's that great. They're telling me the needs in Africa are going to increase beyond imagination, Father. I don't have to imagine. I've seen it. I know what can happen. But I also know what can happen when your love flows through your people like it has flowed through our viewers. In Jesus' name. We need many of you who are watching today to help us save the lives, yes, of millions of children. And we can do it. The missionaries are there. They know what they're doing. We need your help that they not be empty-handed. Would you get your bank card and use it like a check? Would you plan to help us every month if possible? Could you make an estate gift? Could you increase your giving if you've been helping? Would you begin to help if you haven't? As you watch Randy talking to Peter Pretorius' son, I want you just to ask God, what do you want me to do? What is your heart's desire? What is your dream to be fulfilled, Father? through me. Ask him and watch prayerfully.
You see the thinness of his hair.
Now the Bible says it's with a measure that you give.
To me, the reward is seeing the lives saved, seeing people learn about the love of God.
In the late 1980s, Peter and Ann Pretorius met James and Betty Robison of Life Outreach International, sparking a lifelong partnership that started with feeding 5,000 starving children in war-torn Mozambique to what is now 350,000 children a day in several countries on the continent of Africa. Today, the sons of Peter Pretorius and James Robison continue this legacy, saving lives through mission feeding and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.
This, to me, is the model I wish everyone would adopt, and of course the gospel being an essential part of it. But this is salvation in every level. All of this started decades ago with your father, my father, seeing a need, and out of it, countless lives have been saved. Through the generations, Isak, I want us to expand, to continue, save even more lives, reach even more people with the gospel. Will you stand with me if I stand with you?
If you'll stand with us, we're here. We're going to do this. Our commitment is there to not just continue the work, but to do the work on a broader scale, on a deeper scale.
Yeah, where it's needed. They need it. They're dying.
Let's dream together of the day where we're not just saving lives, where we actually don't even have to do that anymore because we've had the level of impact that we need to have in our generation.
We're standing with each other. Will you stand with us as we stand for these children?
Well, I know so many of you have. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Randy, you've watched the miracle of God's love through our viewers. You know we would be like the missionaries told us, we'll just be here with a broken heart and empty-handed. Yeah. So please ask the people that watch you if they would help us. Betty, our viewers have been miracle workers.
They really have. You've done so much to help us to go forward with God's plan for what this ministry was to do, and you continue to. We need to ask you again, and we'll do it again and again. We need your continued help. Let God show you the best that He wants you to do through this ministry. You've seen the difference. We've shown you the difference. Kids hardly can breathe. Kids can't, they don't have anything to eat. But you have come through for them every time, and we thank you so much for that. Your heartfelt care of this ministry and what we are able to do to change the lives of children, let them grow up to be fine adults. Thank you so much.
Would you just please go right now and get your bank card and use it like a check? Would you do that? If you write a check, make it to Life, but call us and tell us what you're mailing. We really need to hear from every one of you. We're going to sit here right now, Betty, and just pray, God, would you move on everyone that's watching to put your arms around the people that are overlooked in Jesus' name.
Can I point out that when you saw that, it said 5,000 children was your initial goal in Mozambique, and now it's over 350,000 children every single day. Mm-hmm. That is the godly principle of stewardship and multiplication. Yes. And that is what the people that have supported mission feeding in the past have done. You have exhibited this godly principle, and God's honoring it. That's what He does. And that's why we're asking people right now, you don't have to feed 350,000 children today. Three children can benefit with a $30 gift. $50 will help feed five children. $100 will help feed 10 children. And there are many of you that could feed 100 children. You could help feed them today with a gift of $1,000. Your gift today will be multiplied. Why? Because of the foundation we've built here and because of the amazing multiplication effort of what God does through mission feeding. But it starts with you. That's my prayer.
I'm believing you're going to do it, and we have gifts for you. Because we love you just like we love those children that we're helping, we want to bless you. Thank you for blessing others.
Right now, across the continent of Africa, children are suffering, facing severe malnutrition and even death. With food reserves critically depleted and many areas experiencing devastating famine, we urgently need to replenish supplies to keep feeding the 350,000 children who are counting on us every single day. Through Life's Mission Feeding Outreach, your gift of love can be an answer to a prayer for a hurting and hungry child in their time of need. Call now with your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 to help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you Happy, Healthy, and Free, a powerful 31-day journey to help you embrace God's promises for healing, wholeness, restoration, peace, and joy. Step into the abundant life God has prepared for you. With your gift of $100 or more, please request the beautiful and soft, perfect peace blanket, bearing the words of Isaiah 26:3 as a meaningful reminder that those who trust in the Lord are never alone. Finally, this is the last opportunity to request our 2025 majestic bronze sculpture, Lion of Judah, with your gift of $1,000 or more, which will help feed 100 children in desperate need. So, please call, write, or make your gift online today.
You know, we've got, as Randy said, we can grow, but not without you.
That's right.
You are the only way we ever reach beyond one place to another, another person, another village. You're it. Please know how important, not just that you are to Life Outreach, how important you are to giving life to people who will not live without your help. So do all you can. We have been praying. I came knowing this week we needed a miracle from God through you. Randy, the viewers are awesome, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. Oh,
they really are. So we need your help big time. And from the bottom of our heart, in behalf of so many precious ones, thank you for putting God's arms around them. We love you.
LifeToday.org. Dive into your favorite Life Today programs. Explore impactful ministry outreaches and discover life-changing spiritual resources. Visit LifeToday.org and experience the best of life.
Next week, meet Clay Dyer, a professional bass fisherman who doesn't let his limitations dampen his determination or his higher calling.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.